Amen. Welcome to River of Hope this morning. I have to say I'm happy to be back. Last weekend was one of those wake up Sunday morning and go, yeah, I'm not going to make it today. Came down with a little bit of a stomach bug, and I just want to thank everyone that stepped up to help. Zach isn't in here this morning, and I know Amanda already gave him some credit last week, but I got to do this because one, he deserves honor for stepping up and serving like he did, but he had about an hour's notice before getting here to playing worship on Sunday morning, and I think he's played worship with our team once before. So for him to step up and be bold and, you know, just to put all ideas or false thoughts in it that might be in his mind or ideas that he's not good enough, anything like that behind him, and just to step up and play and fill in. I watched a little bit of the live stream. Somebody was videotaping on Facebook, and I was really impressed. And I'm not just saying that because he's my son. I'm saying that because I know how little he gets to play, and for him to step up and use the gifts that God's given him to serve here, actually, it blew me away. But beyond that, everybody else that's stepped up, Josh was already scheduled to preach, and God knows what he's doing in filling in the gaps and making sure things are going to work smoothly. So for everyone that stepped up, thank you. I really appreciate it. Actually, that was a little bit longer than normally I get a 24-hour deal. You know, I'm out for a day and then I'm good. This one lasted a few more days and spurred along my diet, maybe a little better than my diet alone could do. Anyway, that's besides the point this morning. I would like to pray before we take up our morning tithes and offerings. You have the envelope in the seat back pocket in the chair in front of you that you can utilize. Again, if you did use the credit card reader out at the coffee bar, I would ask that you would write your name and that it was a credit card donation on an envelope, just to make sure that we can track that for your end of year financials. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can just turn our attention back to you. Father, I pray and ask that you would just open our eyes and open our hearts to receive what you have for us today, Lord. And Father, I thank you for everything that you've blessed us with as we all come, Lord, having shelter, having food. Lord, we know that you've given us provision, and from that, Lord, we give back to you. We ask, Father, that you would receive it, that you would bless it in your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody needs to go grab a cup of coffee before we continue the service. No, I'm kidding. All right. Well, good morning. Just a few announcements this morning. Today we have the fellowship meal following the service, so we just want to invite everybody to stay after for that. On April 21st, we are having our Ladies Connect in our men's group kind of joining up for the evening. And I know Ember was up here last week giving some, not really going into detail because the kids were in here, but so I'm going to let you in on the secret today on what that evening is going to look like, okay? And I can't take credit for the idea. This was Travis and Ember working together on the idea, and they asked Pastor Jesse and I what we thought, and we said absolutely yes, absolutely yes. So the idea is that we are getting some party buses from Medford Motors, and we are going to be carpooling or riding in the party buses. And I was told I was wrote down as a driver. I do not want to drive one of those things. So if somebody else would volunteer, that would be great. But we're going to head over to Eau Claire, and we are going to be going to Action City to their new trampoline park. So Amber's got the details. I think she said like $20 or something. Plus, we're going to stop for dinner. If you could throw in a couple bucks for the party bus, that would be great too. But otherwise, this is going to be a really fun night. I told Ember only an hour for jumping. And once you get there and you start jumping, you will thank me, because we took our kids to the Dells for Christmas and we stopped on the trampoline park before we went home. That was the best decision we've ever made on a family vacation, is to stop at the trampoline park before heading home, because the kids were in there jumping around. They do not let you take a break. My kids were like, "Do we have to keep jumping?" Yes, you do. And they got yelled at from the people, like, if you stop on those trampoline, you know, you get yelled at because it could be dangerous. So we're all going to get our workout out by jumping on the trampoline for a full hour, and we are eating afterwards to keep our food in our stomach. So that is the night of the 21st. So I'm thinking 5:15 if we could meet here. I know that's kind of early. We can maybe talk about that if people are just like, hey, we can't get there that early. But I would like to get there at 7 if possible, and then jump for an hour, and then we'll be eating dinner like at 8 or so. So what I need is an idea of how many people, even if you are not 100% sure if you can be there, I need to know how many people are like going to try and make it work to go and sign up on the sheet out on the welcome table, because currently we have 2 party buses or vans reserved through Medford Motors, and they just asked me, hey, if you're not going to use both of them, we have a lot of people that want to rent one that weekend. So I kind of want to give them a heads up soon if we're not going to need both of them. If you're going to try and make it work, sign up on the welcome table. There's a sign up sheet out there. And I think Ember is going to have some sheets next week with all of the details that you need to know for that evening. So, because we have to sign some waivers and stuff before we go. Easter weekend, that's like only 3 weekends away. Isn't that crazy? We are going to be having a Good Friday service here at 6:30 that weekend. And then our Easter service will be the normal time. The kids are all going to be in service with us that day. And I think Josh and Lacey have something planned with the kids. So you're going to want to make sure to invite family, grandma and grandpa, whoever you can, to the Easter service that weekend. So make sure to plan your calendars for that. We did go yesterday and we ordered all of the coffee bar tables and chairs. So thank you very much for everybody that gave very generously to make that happen. So we're really excited about that. And if you could say some prayers, I'm hoping they will arrive and be able to be set up before Easter, but it's going to be pretty close because I was picky and I didn't want the floor models. So I'm excited about that. They're going to look really nice out there. Anniversary service is May 21st, and Dwayne and Lori Parkinson are heading up kind of the event details after the service, and they are looking for some people who want to just kind of help alongside of them. I'm not sure for sure what they all have going on. I heard some ideas, and they sound awesome. So I think they just kind of need some support for the ideas that they have and some help that day running some of the different things. And so if you are interested in helping out with that, I think Lori's back out there now, but catch her after service and just see what they need help with and see what you're able to do for that day. Deandra is going to be coming up from Madison to do some video clips for us on Sunday, April 30th. And so if you can mark your calendar to just make sure to leave some time open that afternoon. I told her I just want a quick how River of Hope has impacted your life, if you would be able to share that. Deandra's going to put together a cool video for us for our anniversary service. So we'll have a sign up for that next week, just so you can sign up for a time slot so you don't have to stay here all afternoon waiting for your turn, okay? Otherwise, I think I got everything. So I guess I'm done. There was a lot this morning.
All right. I should thank Josh. I heard a little bit of feedback that he did a great job filling in last Sunday. Was I right in when I shared the week before that he is very good at communication as far as gearing it towards his audience, his ability to be back there with our kids every Sunday, but then to come in here and not just be a clown with us? You know, he He like switches his mentality, and the message is geared for his audience. He does a very good job at that. I know I've said it before multiple times. We are blessed to have Josh and Lacey, and any opportunity you get to thank them for what they do, please take it. The more we can bless and honor them for their service here, hopefully the more love and appreciation they will feel. And stay with us. Don't worry. As far as I know, they have no intentions of flying away, although I have heard they like Hawaii. Anyway, don't we all? I want to say thank you to everyone who has been praying for me. And maybe you haven't, maybe you've never told me, but maybe you are. I know there's a couple people in here who have let me know, hey, we've got your back. We're praying for you. This May will mark 5 years of service here in Medford as River of Hope. And over the past 5 years, we have been trying to be more available in Medford through moving to town and being able to live in Medford and be here. But as most of you know, my job was in Edgar, so I'm driving 35, 40 minutes each way. And it was getting complicated to be available and to be here in town. And the more you're outside of your community, the less connected you can be. And I just want to say, if you're on Facebook, you've already seen it. I accepted a position at Interquip, and we'll start not this coming Monday, April 3rd. I'll be starting at Interquip. I will be working in town, which is amazing. So thank you for praying. It really is a big step. It's a step of faith for myself and my family. The commute is much shorter. I drove back and forth to make sure it's 2 miles from my house. So maybe in the summer and running might get me there. I don't know. Depends on how well my car keeps going, I guess. Anyway, let's pray before we jump into our message this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can just dig into your word. As we study the book of Romans today, Lord, I just pray and ask that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to receive the word that you have for us. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me, that nothing that is void of you would come from my mouth, Lord, that what you speak through me is of your will and of your heart. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. We are going to jump right into Romans chapter 3 this morning. Romans chapter 3. I know Josh finished up chapter 2 for us last week. So starting in Romans chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 20, I believe, and then work our way back through it as I typically do when we study through books of the Bible. Romans chapter 3, verse 1, then what's the advantage of being a Jew? Is there any value in the ceremony of circumcision? Yes, there are great benefits. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with the whole revelation of God. True, some of them were unfaithful, but just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. As the scriptures say about him, you will be proved right in what you say, and you will win your case in court. But some might say your sinfulness serves a good purpose, for it helps people see how righteous God is. Isn't it unfair then for him to punish us? This is merely a human point of view. Of course not. If God were not entirely fair, how would he be qualified to judge the world? But someone might still argue, how can God condemn me as a sinner if my dishonesty highlights his truthfulness and brings him more glory? And some people even slander us by claiming that we say, the more we sin, the better it is. Those who say such things deserve to be condemned. Verse 9, well then, should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. If you haven't noticed yet on our study of Romans, Paul is taking a very direct approach at calling out the sins, the prejudices of the Jewish people. And he's doing this because of the mentality among many of the Jews that they had a leg up on everyone else because they were God's chosen people. So as we've been studying through Romans so far, each week we've been pointing out, you know, Paul is calling out, yes, he's calling out the Gentiles and saying, hey, you guys know the law too, because it's been written on your heart through creation, and you can see that there is a God and that there is a creator, so you know there's a divine being. And then he's calling out the Jews saying, hey, you were given the law. You know what you've been instructed to do. Therefore, you've been entrusted with more knowledge than everyone else. Then what's the advantage of being a Jew? Is there any value in the ceremony of circumcision? Yes, there are great benefits. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with the whole revelation of God. When Paul is talking about circumcision in these passages, he's really talking about the sign that is commanded to the Jews. I want to make sure I'm teaching this correctly this morning. The problem that we're seeing in Romans and where we're picking up now is that the Jews are trying to force the Gentiles into their own process of identifying with Israel. So in the Old Testament, God commanded the Israelites to circumcise their males. And that was a sign that they were a part of the house of Israel. So the problem is now you've got this group of people who is trying to tell all these other people that they're trying to bring into their family that, hey, you need to be circumcised. Now, I'm sure you can kind of imagine that doesn't sit well with the general population of people who are wanting to find God. So Paul is making sure to spend time in his writings to the Romans saying, hey, this is what you are commanded to do. This holds no bearing over Gentiles and their faith in the relationship with Jesus Christ. And the more you try to force this false idea, this false truth upon them, the more you are driving them away from the truth that can save them. That's a summary of what Paul is really driving home. In verse 2, yes, there are great benefits. First of all, the benefit in being a Jew and identifying with the Jews is that they were entrusted with the whole revelation of God. Meaning that in the process of the nation of Israel being selected and chosen as God's holy people, and God giving them the Ten Commandments through Moses, and the whole, as we read through the whole Old Testament, you just see this process of God working through his chosen people, Israel. And we can understand that they have been given the whole revelation of God when they were given the law. Verse 3, true, some of them were unfaithful, but just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. God is true. That statement by Paul needs to hold a lot of weight in each and every one of our lives. Because some of the biggest challenges you're going to have against your faith from the community are questions like, if God is so good, why does he allow sin? Why does he allow name it. I mean, you can pick something and I'm sure you've heard it. Why does he allow murder? Why does he allow rape? Why does he allow all of these unspeakable sins? You see, the idea there is that people are challenging God based on our human ideologies and our human ability to perceive and see things. The problem is, no matter what you and I do, we do not change who God is. When Scripture tells us God is unchanging, we need to hold on to that. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. As the Scriptures say about him, you will be proved right in what you say, and you will win your case in court. In verse 5, this is an interesting section of Scripture. But some might say our sinfulness serves a good purpose, for it helps people see how righteous God is. Isn't it unfair then for him to punish us? That would be one way that we can twist the word of God, right? You know what? I've committed my fair share of sins. And you know that each and every one of us are going to live each and every one of our days out, and we're still going to fall, and we're still going to have issues, and we're still going to do things that go against the Word of God. But the problem is, as we're reading from Paul here right now, is that people are abusing the grace of God. Saying that the more I sin, the more it proves that God is full of mercy, full of grace. But it's merely a human point of view. Isn't it unfair then for him to punish us if our sins show that he is full of grace? Of course not. If God were not entirely fair, how would he be qualified to judge the world? It's a valid point. If God were not entirely fair, how would he be qualified to judge the world? But someone might still argue, how can God condemn me as a sinner if my dishonesty highlights his truthfulness and brings him more glory? We have to really be in a twisted mindset to believe that our sin, our living in continual sin, our complete and utter disobedience to the Word of God is going to bring God glory. Some people even slander us by claiming that we say the more we sin, the better it is. Those who say such things deserve to be condemned. Verse 9. Well then, should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? This is another point of Paul making sure to clarify. No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. He's pretty black and white in showing that all of God's creation is under the same law, under the same power and under the same grace. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise and no one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness, and they rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follows them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Out of that whole list, as Paul is quoting Old Testament scriptures and Old Testament documents that are really calling out the sins of the Israelites, the one that scares me the most out of all of those is that last statement. They have no fear of God at all. If we ever get to a point in our life where we've wandered so far away from our saving grace in Jesus, and we've relied so much on ourselves that we turn our hearts completely away from God to the point where we don't even believe there is a reason to fear Him. Maybe we've bought into this idea, as Paul was exclaiming earlier, about, you know what, it's okay if I sin because that proves the grace and the truthfulness of God. They have no fear of God at all. I think you understand what I'm saying. And as believers, as people who believe in the Word of God, as people who believe that without Christ we are broken, we are incomplete, we are apart from God. When we hear that word, they have no fear of God at all. That honestly stirs something within us. Because maybe our fear of God is more real because we know what the end of the story is. Because we believe in the Word of God. And we know that for those who have completely turned away from God and do not believe He exists and have no fear of Him at all, are in essence dead already. Unless the Holy Spirit works on them, convicts them of their lack of faith and their unbelief, restoring their heart and their mind into right relationship with God. And it can be done. You know, we're reading from Paul, writing to the Romans. And if you think about Paul, one of the biggest opposers to Christianity, riding around, convicting people, sending them to jail, beating them. And now we see Paul as one of the biggest ambassadors for God. So when you think about that transition and that ability for God to speak into someone's life and completely turn it around from a point of fighting against Him and living their life in complete, their whole purpose is to destroy faith and people of faith and Christianity. And yet we see God take that person and through miraculous acts take him and turns him 180 and sends him on a mission for himself. Paul on a mission for God. Paul went from being that guy who had no fear of God at all to being a man whose sole mission was to advance the gospel. Verse 19. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. I've seen a lot of debate. I shouldn't say a lot. I've seen debate from even from believers who are talking about the value of the law and how important is the law in our Christian life, and do we need to do our best to live by the law? As Paul is writing right here, the law applies to those whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. If we change our focus in our faith from believing that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we change it, and now we begin to say, you know what, I'm going to follow this law to a T, and I am going to live every day of my life the best I can in following the laws God has given us. We're beginning to take the focus off of Jesus and put it on ourselves and our own abilities. I need you to understand, it's not wrong to hold yourself accountable to the law. What happens is when we make a disconnect and we believe, you know what, it's more important that I follow the law than rely on the grace and salvation of Jesus. Because we're taking our focus off of Jesus and putting it on ourselves. Verse 20, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. You see, before the Ten Commandments were given, there was nothing there telling the Israelites what was right, what was wrong. When God gave the Ten Commandments, he did it so that everyone would have a ruler, a gauge. You look at the Ten Commandments and you can see that, yes, there's the Ten, obviously. But in those Ten Commandments, the way that they are sent to us cover just about any immorality you can think of. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. I'm going to stop there today. We're going to pick up next week, finishing out chapter 3 and picking up Paul has this way of kind of driving home hard and heavy points and kind of making you feel bad, you know, because he's just pounding it home and he's really just working it into you. But then there's always a flip side. So this week's a little bit heavy. We're talking a little bit about how we have the law. We have the ability to know what right is, right and wrong is, but we cannot be saved by that law. Next week, verse 21 starts out with but. Anytime you're reading through the scriptures and you've got this dialogue and you've got this kind of like Paul likes to do a lot. It's all this negative and this bearing down, and then you have that but. He's switching gears. He's saying, but wait. Now that you understand the heaviness and the ugliness of what this is, I'm going to show you the truth. Next week, we're going to dig into the rest of chapter 3 where Paul does just that. I'm going to pray this morning to end our service. I hope that you can stay with us for lunch. They may need a little bit of time yet to finish setting up. But we will pray and just let them finish getting ready. If you would bow with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for giving us such a powerful and pointed word from Paul. Lord, I thank you that you have given us your holy scriptures inspired by you. And that we can trust and rely on the words that you have given us to read. I thank you that as we read about a people who is very much like our own, a culture who is eerily similar to our own, that you share the truth, that you share the hope through Paul's writings. Father, I just ask that you would bless the rest of this day, that you would continue to work on our hearts and on our minds, as we contemplate what Jesus has done for us. Just realize the weight of salvation and the fullness of the grace and mercy that you've given us. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name, amen.